Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres beat up on the Giants in San Francisco. And today, we've got Annie Heilbrun in studio, who's on the bandwagon but refuses to dress the part from the ankle down like so many of our other hosts.
Stop with the socks. I don't really care.
And as the Padres prepare for four in Arizona, we've also got Bill Center, who wouldn't miss a Padres social hour for anything.
I have backup plans as to if my car didn't start, how I would make it.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrun and Bill Center.
I didn't bring the socks, but I bring the boots. Welcome to Padres Social Hour. I'm Annie Heilbrun, joined by Bill Center, and we're here in the AMR studios at Petco Park. The Padres not here. They're in Arizona for the first game of a four-game series against the Diamondbacks. Bill, as that intro said, you wouldn't miss this for the world, and I'm happy that you're here today.
I know. I just have to watch every once in a while because blooper keeps cutting me back in the schedule.
I noticed that. I think that well, there'll be some protesters outside, some signs up, things like that. If you're not on a bunch, you don't hear those intros beforehand, do you?
No.
See, neither do I. So I start cracking up a little when I hear what they pulled out.
Right. Not what they
is it?
Out.
Is this all blooper?
Right. This is all
interesting. Set. Okay. Right. Well, now I know. Now, if I have to complain about something, now I know.
Whack them up the
head.
Yeah,
I say.
Times,
Wow. This is all right. Seth.
Clobber him with one.
I
of
hope
those
he uses
boots.
That right. with one of the boots. Hey, when it's kind of overcast outside, I like to pull out what I call the fall gear. We don't get it a lot, so.
So this is your fall.
This is my fall. I like to just enjoy it while it's here. It's only here for like a week, and then it's gone. So.
Actually,
anyways.
It's May gray. We didn't have May
You're
gray
right.
last year.
And, you're right.
And we're going to have a little rain, which we don't normally have in
right.
May. But
for the Padres, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're in Arizona. They have a roof, so
right.
they don't care. But
right.
let's see. I mean, we'll get to Arizona, but how about averting the sweep, getting that 9-1 win yesterday in San Francisco, 9 runs on 16 hits. Not a bad game, right, Bill?
Not a bad game from a number of angles. I mean, offensively – you got 9 runs and 16 hits, and Matt Kemp and Justin Upton really didn't contribute.
Yes.
Justin drew 4 walks, but Matt was 1-for-6. And so it was other guys. Spangenberg, Amarista came around 3-for-5. Alonso returned with 3 hits and 2 hits, excuse me. But so it was a lot of other guys that really picked it up yesterday. Not Myers, not Kemp, not Upton.
I love that you said that because we're used to that. We're used to kind of those Kemp up to the 3-4 kind of getting
right.
it going or whatnot. And it was great to see they all reached base. Even Kennedy reached base, but like you said, they did it. Upton did it on walks, and I think Matt Kemp had that first RBI to get it going
right.
and driving that first run. Who was it? Spangenberg, Amarista, and who was the other one that got the 3 hit?
Alonso.
And Alonso. Okay, I love that Dennis Lynn asked after the game yesterday, Buddy Black has a rule that if you get a home run, you get to play in the game the next day. Well, Dennis said, hey, these guys, maybe not a home run, but 3 hits. And Buddy said, all right, you're in the lineup the next day then. That'll be a rule.
Yeah, well, Buddy's broken that rule already this year because he had the game when Venable and Nieves – hit home runs.
Oh, they didn't play the next day?
Neither one of them started the next day. So
here I am telling this great story, and
right.
you just bursted that bubble, Bill.
That rule's meant to be broken.
All right. Well, nonetheless, your point of the 3 hits is a great one.
It used to be a hard and fast rule with Buddy. He got away from it last year, and this year it's, I don't think, with these guys.
Right.
If you're subbing for Matt Kemp, or if you're subbing for Will Myers and you hit a home run, they're not going to keep Will Myers out 2 straight days because you hit a home run.
I think that's a good point. That's a good point, Bill. I'm going to have to defer to you on that. It was a nice little moment.
Yes.
But the moment has passed. It made for a nice fodder, I guess
right.
you can say. Right? All right. Well, I think still, being able to walk away, get out of San Francisco, and I know that Buddy said afterwards, these guys were playing with an edge. They obviously were shut out on Monday and Tuesday. You did not want to get shut out again on Wednesday. And the first inning, bases were loaded. There was a double play. And no runs were scored, and I think there was a collective groan amongst people. Is this going to be one of those games where they're not going to get those runs in? And then third inning, the floodgates open, and there they went. So,
right. You know what I really liked about the offense yesterday is that guys were hitting the pitches where they were pitched and not trying to do too much,
yes.
not trying to hit the home run. Okay, outside. There's an outside breaking ball that hung up a little bit. I'm going to take it to right. And guys were making the most of the pitches and not trying to go out and make things happen.
That's something that do you think that we're seeing? We'll see more of net too now that it's in May and they've gotten, you know, at least a month, a little bit over a month under their belt, and they're able to have some more patience at the plate and trust themselves a little bit.
Well, I think these, for the most part, this team is geared this way. Alonso likes, and it's strange to see teams shift against Yonder Alonso because he's got the ability to go to the left side.
Right.
And we've seen an awful lot that so far. And I'm just wondering, when do teams stop shifting against Alonso? But this is a team with a lot of the guys, Myers, Middlebrooks, if he gets going again, when he gets going again. This is a team that has a lot of guys that get hits to the opposite field. And, yeah, you don't want to see him pulling for power.
Right.
Upton pulls for power. I'll let him swing at anything he wants to swing at because he's going to hit him out. But even Matt Kemp this year is really just sort of, okay, if I've got this pitch there, I'm on base because I know I can drive it to right center.
I think that's a great point. And it's good to see that they're able to put together those wins then, either using power or using their ability to wait for that right pitch and being able to hit for a nice single or double.
On top of that, you cannot – I mean, what Ian Kennedy did yesterday was extremely significant.
Oh.
So now what I want to see is I want to see him get hot, win three or four in a row. I mean, put a little streak together. They're 15-14.
Yeah.
They did have that 10-5 start, but they really haven't had a hot streak yet. So –
I think we got to talk more about Ian Kennedy after the break, but I did want to point out what you said here. They started 10-5, lost 7 of the next 8, swept the Rockies, lost 2 in San Francisco, got that win yesterday. But there is some kind of a shifty, and you know that's baseball. I'm sure you'll be the first to say that. There's an up and down to it. Of course, it's never going to stay steady the whole season or anything. But I think even the players would say that they want to get more consistent with each game, as in the pitching, the errors, the runs scored, everything kind of being more well-rounded.
I think a hot streak gets them going.
Yeah.
And I really would like to see them get on a run here where they win 4 or 5 straight and put everything together. And once you have a run like that, if you're a solid team, I mean, any team can have a run.
That's,
I mean, I remember the 99 Padres, and I think they won 9 straight and almost lost. I mean, if they hadn't won 9 straight, they might have lost 100 games. So, but any team can get on a run, but a good team that gets on a run, usually they can build off of that. And that's what I want to see.
And being able to carry that from series to series on the road from place to place or home to the road, being able to carry it is important.
And have your top three pitchers, Shields, Ross, and Cashner, go back to back to back and have 3 good games. That gets you started. And so far, I mean, the top 3 guys in the rotation, they've been okay to good, but they haven't been the exceptional like you'd like to see him, what you expect to see him.
Like that lights out pitching that we're waiting to see. And so I do want to get to a lot of that. We'll get to it after the break. I want to remind people that they can tweet us, ask questions, comments. You can ask Bill whatever you like, whether it's anything on the military or history channel. Test his knowledge of the Padres. Anything that you want, make sure that you tag that tweet with hashtag PadresSH so that we can find it. And if you also go to Padres.com/social hour, you can join the chat and ask a question or talk to other people there. We've got a great moderator in there as well. She is wonderful. We'll be right back, Bill. I want to remind people that you can host your next event at Petco Park at The Landing, presented by Cabo Wabo. This private 30 to 300-person group space at the top of the new left field seating area offers a great view of the field and includes food and beverage. Reserve today by calling 619-795-5555. Stay with Bill and I. We'll be right back here on Padres Social Hour. And welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studios at Petco Park, an overcast San Diego shot there. We're not used to seeing that a ton, but kind of nice. I'm Annie Heilbrin, joined by Bill Senner. Bill, we were talking about Ian Kennedy before the break, and last night, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, no walks. I remember after he hurt his hamstring, he came back for the start against the Dodgers, and people were crying afterwards that, you know, he needed to go to the bullpen or something.
No, never to the bullpen.
There's too much outcry about this. He just needed to get a few games under his belt.
Well, I thought, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I thought he should have had a rehab start.
Got it. Okay.
I thought he should have gone to Lake Elsinore or El Paso for one game to where it wouldn't all be on the line. He could get his pitches in. I thought he did need a rehab start, which they decided not to do. So I did, but never to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was interesting because his first good start back, the one before this one, he relied mostly on his fastball. Didn't have as good secondary pitches.
Yes.
Yesterday, the curve was really sharp. And on, if you watch it on TV, there were a couple breaking balls in there that were just like, oh, this is – he's back on his game. So, yes, it's good to have Ian Kennedy back. Yeah, but yeah, I never wanted him to go to the bullpen. I mean
– Yeah, no, I think people just got a little – after – I got maybe a little spoiled by Adrisa Desmonte and what he was able to do and kind of thought maybe, oh, Ian Kennedy's got lots of stuff.
Reliever.
But
Kennedy – no, Kennedy is a starting pitcher. Yeah. Just like Josh Johnson, when he comes back – it's going to be as a starter.
Yes.
It's not going to be as a relief pitcher. And some people are saying, well, can Josh Johnson be the long man in the bullpen? No.
No, I think I –
if he comes back, it's going to be in a rotation.
But Kennedy's gotten progressively better with each start since coming back from the hamstring injury. And last night, like you said – or yesterday's game, I'm sorry, really looked like his best stuff to me,
too. He had pretty much the total package working out. And the game before that, he really only – he was relying on his fastball, probably threw as many highest percentage fastballs that he had in a long time, he said.
I agree. He's only had three runs in the last 13 innings pitched. So you take that. I mean, that's not a
No,
certainly not a bad stat right
this,
there.
Now, now, with last year's team,
you'd
be in trouble. With this year's team, that's – that's good shape.
Yeah, exactly. This year's team is able to overcome a run deficit. Usually,
except for the except for the back-to-back shutouts.
That was a problem.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, look, I guess that certainly that happens.
It's
and there was
happen.
Good pitching
right.
And whatnot, or at least definitely on Monday.
Good
and
pitching.
There was good pitching both
good
days.
Good pitching beats good hitting.
Exactly. Exactly. Talking about Ian Kennedy and who his catcher was here with Austin Hedges and – you know, I like that Hedges said after the game, too, that Kennedy – I think Kennedy was – he didn't say this. I'm saying this. Kennedy seemed like the perfect starting pitcher to give Austin Hedges his first game.
Absolutely.
Took him under his wing, was able to talk to him throughout the innings and in between innings and whatnot, and I think really kind of made him feel comfortable.
Plus, well, there's a couple things there. First major league game behind the plate, and you're working with a guy who hits spots.
Yes.
And – he's not all over the place. He's not bouncing balls in the dirt. And it, and I'm not saying – listen, Hedges is a great defensive catcher. I think he – excuse me. He has the potential to be a great defensive catcher. We saw the arm yesterday on the play at first base.
Yes. Yep.
And he's very quiet behind the plate. He doesn't move around a lot. He puts the target out there, and he holds it all the way through the pitch being delivered. And pitchers like that. It's very easy for a pitcher to work with somebody like Austin Hedges because they call it being quiet behind the plate. He's not moving the target all over.
Yeah.
He's not moving the glove as he's waiting for the pitch to come in. You see some guys, the glove's going back and forth. Well, he sets a spot, and he expects the pitcher to hit it, and Kennedy was hitting it. I really liked Austin Hedges behind the plate yesterday, and it's very important. I'm going to throw something out there. We have a situation in Los Angeles right now where it's pretty clear that Clayton Kershaw does not want to pitch to Yasmani Grandal.
Yeah.
He wants to pitch to A.J. Ellis, and it's causing some friction up there. Well, the goal is to have your catchers that the pitchers will throw to whoever they want to throw to. Now, last year here, pitchers would rather have thrown to Rene Rivera than Yasmani Grandal.
I remember very well. It was kind of a thing.
Right.
And I think it didn't work out really that well as far as comfortable. I know Yasmani Grandal said afterwards he never felt comfortable. People wouldn't talk to him. And who knows what was – look, I'm sure you know better what was going on with all that. But Rene Rivera was able to
– and it's all started with Tyson Ross really liked working with Rene Rivera. And they were on the same wavelength. You never saw Tyson shake off Rene Rivera. Rene knew what Tyson wanted to do, and he knew where to put the target. And Rene Rivera is a very quiet veteran behind the plate. And Tyson fell in love with him, then Cashner fell in love with him. And it just sort of grew that, hey, we like throwing to Rene Rivera.
But I got to ask you then, because, you know, there was so much talk last season about the framing of the pitches and whatnot and how good Rene Rivera was about that. And – I'm thinking, though, that it has to be some of that. It also has to be some kind of a personal preference where you just feel comfortable with a guy, or you feel comfortable with this guy catching
right.
you in the sense of being able to calm you down or keep you in a good focus.
Right. And so why do the Padres decide to make a change at catcher when they've got this guy who's a good handler of pitchers?
Well,
when that's the number
yeah,
one thing?
I mean, that's probably a good question, right?
I think they honestly didn't believe that he would ever hit up to what he hit
right.
last year. And Tampa Bay loves the work that Rene Rivera is doing behind the plate with their pitchers, but he's only hitting about 160 right now.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah, are we better off with Norris than I would say yes.
I would say yes, too. I think right. that Norris brings some intangibles, too, that Rene Rivera, loved the guy, was
right.
great, was wonderful in the clubhouse, but Norris brings some other stuff besides his bat that Rene Rivera wasn't able to bring, and some of that is his edge, and I know that sounds silly, but
right.
it's true. I mean, Norris brings a little bit of a charisma with him, or a
right.
just a fieriness, and you feel that when you're around him.
Right. Although Rene Rivera was a very popular person
very
in
popular,
the clubhouse.
Very popular, very loved.
Right.
Absolutely. Speaking of Yasmani Grandal, 8 RBIs today and 2 home runs.
Right, 4 for 4.
Yes, that was kind of a wild day for him. And speaking of another catcher that made his major league start and had a great game yesterday defensively, was Austin Hedges being able to get that RBI in the third
RBI
inning and then
single,
another RBI
right.
later with the sacrifice.
Right.
I mean, that's all what you would expect, what you would hope for a major league start.
Right. But do you know what a manager wants from his backup catcher?
He wants dependability.
He wants defense and the handling of pitching,
yeah.
and he doesn't want the backup catcher beating him.
I agree. Well, when it was Nori Aoki? Was it
right?
Right. Nori Aoki when he threw over to first, and I felt like that was a great play too, where he had some aggression. He was able to
right.
make that play quickly. So I thought, all in all, for Austin Hedges, it was a good start.
Well, and I'll tell you that tape of him throwing to first mm-hmm. behind runners is circulating right now with major league teams because that was a great throw.
Absolutely, it was a laser throw.
Right. Aoki wasn't that far off, and it was a bullet throw. It was a great throw.
Well, I think that we have a lot more to get to on that, and I know that we wanted to talk a little bit, too, about the lineup and who's in it and a few of the shifts that have been made in the infield. So we'll get to all of that after the break. Stay with us, and I want to remind all of you guys out there to join the Padres on Sunday, May 17th, as they honor the men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard Sector San Diego for U.S. Coast Guard Appreciation Day presented by USAA. Military and their families receive 50% off tickets to Sunday's game against the Nationals at 1:10 p.m. Get tickets today at Padres.com. Make sure you tweet us using hashtag PadresSH. Join us on the chat, Padres.com/social hour. We will be right back.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. And a little gloomy shot of San Diego right here, but it is not gloomy in here with you, Bill Center.
I don't think it. I got to disagree with you. I love the fact that we may get some rain.
I love it
in
too.
This state.
I love
in
it too.
May.
I'm in my fall clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
You are. But
very happy.
I am. It's not gloomy to me at all. It's like this great little thing that may happen.
I love it. We're so spoiled here in San Diego. But I'd be happy if it stayed what I like to call overcast and cool. Maybe a nice 70 until summer. The official start of summer. Then
you want to see the return of May Gray. Which
I want May Gray. I want some rain. I want some cozy. You know, yeah. Like, I love that. June gloom. I love it.
Ball
I do. I'm that girl.
Here. Ball doesn't carry here.
We got new. There's okay. new guys on this offense. Let them really work that. What is it? The marine layer? What
yeah.
is it? Yeah. Let them really work that marine layer.
Okay.
Let them really have that challenge. Bill, we're going to get to some chat questions because they're great, and also some Twitter questions. Did you hear though how Austin Hedges how they pranked him yesterday? Did you hear about that?
No.
Apparently, the members of the Padres clubhouse, Austin was outside doing an interview, and a few guys said, hey, you got to get in here. You know, you're making us late. And so he came in. They threw him in a laundry cart. For anyone that doesn't know, they have a bunch of those laundry carts around the clubhouse. Like, they have them in a laundromat. And then they showered him with beer, baby powder, and what was the last one? I think shaving cream, whipped cream or something. It was a nice initiation. I don't know.
I don't like initiations.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not, I thought maybe you'd have something to say about it.
I'm not a big I've never been a big fan of embarrassing somebody else and calling it an initiation.
Yeah, I hear you. That's kind of we're on a slippery slope there with what happens in colleges and whatnot.
Right.
I understand that. I think that they also made him carry a tray of food to the plane, is what I read in a story. Now, that's fine. Hey, that's a rookie thing. You got to carry a backpack or a tray of food. I think Austin will be happy to know that you stand up for him.
Right. I've never seen the value of initiations. It's a whole different thing.
All right. Well, I brought it up because it was in several stories today.
Gotcha.
But you know what? We're going to pass over that. You're going to talk to Austin when he gets back about that. You can let him know what you think. All right.
Well, I'm on the record here.
I like it. One other piece of news. A-Rod passing Willie Mays there for all-time home runs, 661. So this is now the fourth all-time,
Number four. I'm chagrined.
I
don't want to see Bonds at the top, and I don't want to see Alex Rodriguez pass Willie Mays. Because in my mind, there are certainly questions involved in both. There are no questions with Alex, with A-Rod, because he admitted it. And I just – it just – takes away from the game a little bit.
Such a slippery slope.
Right. I mean, okay, it's almost like Tom Brady with the ball gate. Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything. Heck yes, you knew something. You've thrown over 100,000 footballs in your life, and you can't tell me you can't tell the difference in the feel. But I don't like this idea of going out and cheating or lying or fudging and then just have it wiped off like, oh, okay, it's okay because you're a superstar.
Yeah, and then there's a whole celebratory aspect of it where you go, well, should you really be celebrating that? I mean, how much of an accomplishment do we know that it – I mean, certainly, yes, I'm sure that there is accomplishment there, but how much can you shave off and not?
It's a slippery slope. Right. I don't want to see Alex Rodriguez's name above one of the icons of the game in any way, shape, or form.
I agree with
even you. Even if it's on a list.
I agree with you, Bill.
That's how I feel. I mean, that's absolutely how I feel.
I think we shall ask the people listening and watching right now, do you agree with Bill? Do you agree with Bill on not only the Austin Hedges incident, but also on this A-Rod incident?
Okay.
I'm with you on this one. I agree. I just don't know how – it's a very gray area for me, and gray areas tend to be – not so good when you're talking about passing, like you said, an all-time great. You don't want it to be a gray area. You want it to be something very concrete.
Right. I want it to be like when Tony Gwynn got to 3,000 hits.
Sure.
He did it. I mean, he did it the old-fashioned way. Sure. He worked hard to make it happen. He didn't take any additives or, you know, maybe an extra hamburger or two. But he didn't dope himself up to make him a better ball player.
Absolutely.
He was what he was. And all the steroid era, I don't know what you do with the Hall of Fame and all that, but I just think that I do not like the blemish that it put on the game.
There's a big difference between celebrating Tony Gwynn and what he's accomplished in that area and then celebrating, like you said, Barry Bonds or A-Rod or whatnot.
I don't celebrate him.
Exactly. There's a huge, you know, there is a huge judge and jury on that.
Hank Aaron was a monster talent who did it on hard work over years. To me, he is the number one home run hitter of all time.
And there you have it.
Right. That's me.
I agree. All right. Okay, let's get to some of these. Oh, we have someone that already says, I'm with Bill on initiations. I think we're all going to tell Austin that we're with him.
You know, I'll say one more thing. I've always viewed that you respect people for what they are, and I just never, with the whole initiation idea, never thought you do not respect somebody by disrespecting them.
Agreed.
How I feel.
And I don't know, maybe initiation, I guess maybe they might call it celebration or whatnot, but you know, it is an initiation. It's his first start,
well,
so I think that's kind of how they viewed it and all that.
It was a prank.
Yeah, it was a prank. What is the future for Hedges with the Padres with Norris under team control and playing so well?
Very interesting question.
Very good question.
Because I think in a year or so, they're going to have to make a decision. Both of them will have tremendous trade value.
Right.
And you're not going to, down the road, you're not going to keep both as a backup A1 and B1. It's just not going to work out. So you're going to do something to, and the trade value of a major league caliber catcher is huge. Might be more than anywhere else. You look at what the Padres paid to get Norris here. So I would imagine if they both continue to develop and get better, one of them will bring a very high
return
on the trade market.
Mm. And there. That'll be interesting. And you know with A.J. Preller, too, he will negotiate that to get everything he can in return or the best possible thing.
And why you'd think, it'll be Hedges that gets traded, that they have control of Hedges for 6 years.
Absolutely.
Only four more years after this with Norris. So all that factors in. Who's going to be making, you know, when they get to arbitration eligible, the price is going to go up on both of them. So there are a lot of factors here. It's not necessarily going to be who's better. There's a lot of factors
going
into that.
A lot more that goes into it. All right, Mr. Center, are you wearing the Padres' future colors?
The brown pants?
The brown. Okay.
I do want to see brown back in some part of the uniform.
You don't want to have full brown uniforms every day, day in and day out.
No, and
right?
I don't want to see the mustard tops ever.
Right. You're done.
People think
that.
I'm anti-brown. I'm not anti-brown. I'm anti having them look foolish.
Bill's more of a brown as an accent color sort of thing. Okay, good. All right, one last one before we go to break. Bill, do you think Myers, who has a mediocre on-base percentage but good power and average, should be hitting fifth or sixth with Solarte or Spangenberg hitting first?
Not right now, because neither Spangenberg, you don't just throw him into that spot. Okay. He does draw walks, but I don't want to see him at the top of the order. Right now, I like Myers at the top of the order. I could see down the road where they would start mixing the other two guys in. But Myers has a track record that he's going to do things with the bat and make things happen. He might even give you an extra base hit at the top. Right now, I'd rather have that than a traditional leadoff hitter.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about Myers. There was an article about him in Fangraphs the other day or yesterday, so we'll get to that after the break. I can tell you have another thought. Do you want to save it or say it?
Go ahead. No, I don't. I'm fine right now.
We'll go to break. I think, though, people are throwing in some really good questions in the chat and on Twitter, so we're going to get to all of those,
great.
And we appreciate it. Petco, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Hashtag PadresSH on Twitter and Padres.com/social hour. Get those questions and comments in. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studios. I'm Annie. This is Bill. We have Nikki and Seth here, although neither one of them want to be on camera.
We almost had Nikki on camera.
Yeah. One day we're going to get her there.
Right.
All right, we got a few tweets come in, and then we'll get to the Will Myers stuff. I think that we'll get to that afterwards. But I think one of them having to do with Matt Kemp, who hasn't had an off day yet.
Right.
Asking Bill, why do you think Kemp hasn't hit more home runs so far? Is it him or is it the pitches he's getting? What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's a little of both. Kemp's homers have always come in bunches before. Mm-hmm. I don't think his power is down. It certainly wasn't down the second half of last year. And the homers, I believe that the homers will come. That said, I'm not unhappy with what he's doing now. Because, I mean, he's getting on base, he's getting doubles, he's getting RBIs, he's scoring runs. You want that. The other thing is I think the pitchers are working him a little bit tougher because they got Upton, who has really been hitting the ball hard, right behind him. I mean, I think pitchers have been really bearing down on Kemp and trying not to get to Upton.
I agree with that, and I look at his 18 RBIs, and I go, hey, this guy's not doing too bad here. You know,
production.
You want some more power, sure, and you want to get those home runs, so does he, but that's production.
But that's production, right.
And
you want production. I don't – you know, I've never – I know a lot of people love the long ball. They think home runs. I think more in terms of production.
And what's going to get a run.
And I've got high on base, if I've got high slugging, if I've got high OPS, and I got a lot of runs driven in, I'm happy with that production.
Exactly.
And I don't care if it's doubles or home runs.
That's how I feel, too. I mean, obviously, a home run's going to get a run, you know. But if Matt Kemp's driving the runs in, too, hey, it's happening that way. All right, you'll take it. A run's a run. So I don't know.
There used to be a great stat that was called runs produced, which is not used anymore. It was the total runs accounted for minus home runs.
Yeah.
And what it did is that told you how many runs they scored, how many RBIs they drove in, but they took out the home runs. So you could look at what a guy's run production was minus home runs. And it was interesting who used to lead those categories.
It
just sort of disappeared. I don't know why.
I was
going
to say, what happened to that?
It disappeared. It was Sports Illustrated used it for a number of years,
yeah.
And then they sort of discontinued it when we got into all these sabermetric numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But I always liked runs produced. I always thought that was a great. Adrian Gonzalez and I discussed that a couple of years ago because he had a lot of runs scored and RBIs. You took away the home runs, and he still had huge numbers in those categories.
I think that's a sad little stat story, too, where the stat just gets obliterated.
Lost. I always liked
it. It's gone. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, another tweet that we got. How good has Norris been as a defensive catcher? What would you say?
I think he gets a little bit – I think he's better than they expected.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's got a little work to do. He's still learning to pitch, so
yeah.
We don't know. I know that he and during spring training, he and Tyson Ross disagreed quite a few times, and that seems to be working. But, I mean, Buddy made an interesting comment a couple days ago that Austin Hedges has been in three Padre spring training camps.
Yes.
So when he got called up, he knew these guys. He had worked with them. Norris, this was his first time ever working with these guys. He's still learning them. So
yeah.
I like what I see in Norris's arm. It's accurate. He's quick with the release. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but if he gets it there, if he puts it on the bag
yeah.
in front of the runner, he's already got 11 guys thrown out.
He's got 11.
So I like what I've seen so far. I think that he will be the first to agree there's still some work to be done. But he's going to be okay.
I love that point about Austin for two reasons. One, you forget the guy is only 22 years old.
Right.
You know, been in four big league camps, like you said, and for four seasons, correct? And that's a lot of time to get to know people, but also you forget how young he is.
Right.
But then also with Norris, as much as, you know, they acclimate and they get to know each other, I agree that there's tendencies. There's the catcher is such a hard position anyway. It's getting there's a psychological part to it. There's all kinds of things as far as getting to know the pitcher, and that takes a while. That can take time.
Well, especially when they get out of their division play,
because
Tyson Ross may know what he used to get Adam LaRoche out last year, and right now Norris has no idea. And the first time Adam LaRoche comes up against Ross with Norris behind the plate, they may not be on the same page. So
it's interesting.
It all comes with, I mean, experience is so important mm-hmm. when you're catching because that's the most important. That's the busiest position on the field.
That is such a difficult position.
Right.
All right, Will Myers, there was a piece in FanGraphs that talked about last year in 2014, he had broken his left wrist, played through it. About 6 weeks later, broke his right wrist. And there's been some stuff written on this that when he came back in after he let that heal and he was on the DL, his forearm, he had lost a lot of muscle in his forearm. And so FanGraphs had this piece where you could see his swing from last year and his swing from this year and how Will talks about he was essentially swinging with one hand. He wasn't
right.
able to use both hands. And it's been written about, but it was pretty cool to see those side by side. As he swings the bat.
Same with Yonder Alonso.
Exactly. Like how much it affects
right.
the power of that swing and how this year loves the leadoff spot is what he says. But also just how comfortable that it took a while for that arm to feel comfortable again where he's swinging a nice the way he wants to. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting way to look at it too.
Right. Well, so much goes into a swing. Like I remember Chris DeNorfia who had Tommy John surgery. And he made the claim, and talking to Reimer Liriano, he agrees that it takes a hitter longer to get his swing back from Tommy John surgery than it takes a pitcher to get his arm back. And DeNorfia said it took him two full years before
wow.
his swing was back. So I think you get if you break a hand, if you hurt a wrist, I think it takes you an awful long time to get that strength and just that feel back.
What have you thought about Will Myers to this point?
And I like him.
I really do too. I know I really do too. And I also like that he's willing to take he's coachable. I see him out there sometimes with Buddy, and they'll be working him at different positions and kind of using him here and using him there, and he'll really work hard to try and take what they're telling him. But when something goes wrong, you know, he right away he'll come back, he'll try again, he'll laugh, he'll have fun, but at the same time he seems very coachable.
He's still learning to play center. I like aggressive hitters,
yeah.
And I thought the last couple of years that the Padres really lacked aggression when they were hitting. I thought the Padres of the last couple of years didn't go to the plate hunting. They went to the plate waiting for something to happen. And now this lineup, Myers, Kemp, Upton, Middlebrooks, I mean, they have guys that go up there hunting, wanting to do damage.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it is interesting, like you said, about center field. And also the fact that he's a young player in between Kemp and Upton. And there is an intimidation factor, he admitted it, to playing between them and not wanting to necessarily call them out on stuff or having to learn how to do that in the right way.
Right. I mean, if he's going towards left and he knows that he might be on a, you know, calling off these veteran outfielders and saying, I got this one, when you've only been out there for 29 games in your career.
Exactly.
It's
You're learning to speak up. And I think what I've seen is that Kemp and Upton are also playing that part in helping him kind of, you know, being the veteran guys, but also kind of helping him acclimate into that position. So, all right, some more great questions on the chat. I really love it. You guys are sending us some great stuff. So we'll get to that after we take the break. If you're looking for paradise, who isn't looking for paradise? Maui Wowie Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Wowie locations inside Petco Park at Park at the Park or the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Hashtag PadresSH on Twitter, padres.com/social hour, and we will be right back.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studios, presented by United Airlines. Bill, we've got some Twitter questions,
okay.
And so I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat.
Gotcha.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
You got to prepare it all? No? Okay.
No.
Okay. All right, you are on the hot seat. Steven Strauss, I'm going to go ahead and say that's Steven, not Stefan. Steven Strauss, will Despaigne ever get a permanent starting job, even if there are no long-term injuries to the current starting rotation?
No, I don't think so. If there are no injuries, I think the top five is set. You're not going to go to a six-man rotation. Morrow has pitched very well in the number five spot. Kennedy's your number four. You're not replacing the top three. Despaigne can go both long man in the bullpen, and he can pitch short relief if you needed him. So I think he is the perfect person to be that bridge guy in the bullpen and to be the spot starter when you needed him. So no. The answer is no.
He has handled that spot so well.
Right.
All right. At Cole Wolf 99, is Buddy not playing yonder enough?
I think he's playing yonder just exactly the amount of time they should. He gives him the only time he gets a break is against a really tough left-hander, and he's got some options there. He can use Solarte at first, the switch hitter, against a tough left-hander. And, no, I think he's using yonder perfectly. We didn't see him twice early in the week. Because he was sore,
he
couldn't swing because he got hit in the back. So, no, I think he's using yonder perfectly. Hey, he's the fifth leading hitter in the National League. I don't think they're ruining him.
I like that. It's great to see that from him as well. All right, thank you for being on the Cholula Hot Seat, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today, Cholula Hot Seat. We had another question in the forum about Will Middlebrooks. Let's see here. Asking if did I miss that one? See, no, I'm sorry, Bill. What is the deal with Will Middlebrooks? Is it time to switch to Spangenberg, who brings speed and contact to mention the Padres' need?
No, because there's a very short size yet on sample size on Spangenberg. And while I'm one of the biggest fans of Corey Spangenberg, and I think he's going to be a heck of a major league player. Middlebrooks won the job at third base fair and square in spring training. He gives you power. He gives you that bat down in the lower third or the fifth, sixth, seventh spot in the lineup. He's not going very well right now. He's in a slump. There's no question about it. But for the time being, he's still my third baseman, and I'm using Spangenberg where I can, maybe some at second, maybe some at third. But I'm not ready to make Spangenberg an everyday player.
Or quit on the upside of Will Middlebrooks.
Right.
I don't think we're ready to do either.
I'm not making a change. There's an ebb and flow to baseball. You do not panic every time somebody goes 1-for-17.
And those slumps happen. That's
right.
That's how it goes.
I mean, before the last four or five games, Spangenberg wasn't going real well.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he's gotten hot recently. I think he's 6 for his last 16. And his average shot up because it's a small sample size. Yes, does he bring on base? Yes, he brings speed. But if Middlebrooks is playing like he was at the start of the season, Spangenberg's not there.
What's been great about some of these Padres players is the versatility. They've been able to contribute at different positions and out of the bullpen and into the starting rotation, and that's what you'd kind of hope for.
Right. Right now, I still have more concerns for Jed Jerko than I do for Will Middlebrooks. Now, that can change. I mean, if this becomes a prolonged situation, that everything in baseball can change. It's gray area, and but right now I still have concerns about Jed Jerko and fewer concerns about Will Middlebrooks.
And so it would be harder to say, though, that you'd keep Solarte out, right?
Or keep
Spangenberg.
But, like, okay, Solarte can play second.
Yeah.
But if you're facing a tough left-hander, Spangenberg can you could have Solarte at second. You could have Spangenberg in there against a right-hander or at third base. There's a lot of different options you can play.
All right, well, we're going to try to get to that lineup after the break. I want to remind people, if you feel like a major league outfielder in one of Petco Park's newest premium suite spaces, we've got a space for you. The Down the Line Suite presented by AMR is an intimate premium space located right on the patio of our social hour set and features open-air seating, and you can see blooper. Holds up to 12 fans and includes dedicated waiter service. To reserve, email suites at padres.com or call 619-795-5555. Blooper is not the waiter. I just want to let you know that, but it'd be kind of funny if we made him that for the day.
If we make him like a side tour to the seats here. Right.
Something like that. We'll be right back here on Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. There is my boat out there in the... in the bay, or Bill, do you believe me that I have a boat out there?
That's a ship.
Okay, that's a ship. Here's my ship.
That's a container ship. It looks like it's leaving, getting ready to turn to head out of San Diego Bay.
All righty, well, there goes my ship then.
Right.
I guess. Okay, well, let's get to some lineup, Bill. Why don't we? And take a look at that. Our lineup is presented by United Airlines. United Airlines proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. What do you think, Bill?
Middlebrooks is getting another day off.
Yep.
I mean, he has slipped under 200.
Yep.
So you got Solarte at third, which I think is his best position. And you got Spangenberg at second, which I think is his best position. So very interesting. Alonso's hitting seventh. Norris just ahead of him.
What did you think about Jerko yesterday facing the right-hander?
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved that they got him. I mean, eventually he's got to prove that he can hit right-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. And Heston was, I mean, not an overpowering right-hander, perfect guy to let him go out.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that he's totally out of the woods, but we're seeing some good signs. The home run on Sunday is a pinch hitter against a right-hander, Brooks Brown, and then yesterday. But I don't think he's out of the woods yet, but at least he's got a start.
I agree. It was at least a promising
right.
step for him. The Diamondbacks, 12-14, they played a doubleheader yesterday. They were rained out in Colorado. They had their most record for runs scored in a doubleheader, which, 13 runs in the first game, 5 in the second. So I guess you have two teams that
you
are maybe.
You don't have many doubleheaders.
Yes, I was going to say,
right.
It's kind of a stat that is a little
right.
obscure because, right? I mean, who's having doubleheaders? But both teams coming in trying to obviously keep that momentum going or keep those runs being scored from both Padres side and the Arizona side, because they've had some trouble too as far as
right.
being able to score runs.
And Despaigne was very good against Arizona the first time
exactly,
he faced
them. Exactly. All right, Bill. Well, we shall see. We thank everybody for joining us and for all your Twitter questions and your chat questions. For Nikki and Seth, for Bill Center and myself, thank you so much for watching and enjoy the game.